This morning we're going to talk about money, about stewardship, about giving to support God's work, and how your generosity enables the work of the church and the spread of God's kingdom. Now this is, as you might know, typically not an easy topic for preachers, right? No one wants to hear sermons about giving. Everyone gets a little nervous when we start talking about money in church, especially when we're talking about your money in church, right? It makes you a little nervous. But I'm not worried about any of that today for two reasons. The first is that I know this is a generous church. Broadway has been blessed for years, for generations, with strong financial support. You, as a church, give faithfully, consistently, generously. I know that's been true in the past, and I believe it will be true into the future. The second reason I'm not nervous to address this topic today is that in the passage we're going to read, Jesus was impressed by the smallest gift placed in the offering and not by the largest gift. So hopefully that will put all of you at ease today in terms of your giving. I'm not going to say to you today that you need to give more. In fact, I don't know how much any of you gives. I don't ever see your checks. I don't look at the envelopes. I don't see your giving statements when they go out at the end of the year. I don't see any of those giving records. And in fact, as a church, we are careful to keep all of that information private and confidential with as very few people as possible who ever see those sorts of records. So with all of that said, how we manage and use and give money matters to God. And it matters to Jesus. So listen to this little story that comes at the end of Mark chapter 12. I think it'll be familiar to some of you, but I hope it will also be encouraging to you as we think about stewardship today. So Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Giving to support God's work was apparently different in Jesus' day, right? It was this very public act. People could watch as you brought your gifts into the temple treasury, as people gave to support the work of the temple there in Jerusalem. And of course, no one at that time wrote checks, right? No one knows how much you wrote on your check. You just see the piece of paper. Back in that day, no one gave electronically or online. They didn't even have paper money back then. And so as you brought your gift into the temple treasury, people could see, they could even hear the coins falling down into the box or whatever it was where the gifts were placed, and they could probably tell whether you were giving gold coins or silver coins or just copper coins. It's a very public act. I remember the first church I served in Michigan, when we collected the offering in church, the plates would then be brought forward to the very front, and then I would lead my prayer like I do here. But the plates were all stacked up there, and so you could kind of see, I guess, was it a good week, not a good week? How much were they, you know, stacked up? And again, that was before anybody gave electronically or whatever, so you could kind of tell. But back in Jesus' day, it was individual. You could see, oh, there's a rich person. You could hear the gold coins clanking loudly into the treasury box, and then you could hear someone like the poor widow with two little copper coins clink, clink, and everybody would know that she didn't give very much. It's interesting also that Jesus would watch people doing this. right? Might make you a little bit nervous. Of course, Jesus already knew what was in people's hearts, and so it was no surprise to him who was putting what into the treasury that morning. Then again, Jesus was never afraid to talk about money. He often called people to account for their greed. He would talk about how people hoarded money. Jesus also knew what it was like to be poor from his own personal experience growing up in a relatively poor family. Jesus knew what it was like to be in need. He understood also the pressures and the temptations of wealth. Jesus understood the value and necessity of money. Jesus' own ministry, we're told a couple of times in the Gospels that Jesus and his disciples, as they traveled around, of course, Jesus didn't at that time in his life have a job, right? He was a traveling rabbi. He was supported by donations. He was supported by the generosity of those who believed in his ministry. And so he understood what it meant to receive the support of people who believe in the ministry that you're doing. And so that brings us to the first truth this morning as we think about our lives and our ministry in the church. And the first truth is that ministry requires generous giving. It always has. The work of the church, of course, is mostly a spiritual pursuit, right? We talk about faith and love and grace and salvation, and those are things you can't touch or see. Those are things you can't order on Amazon. And yet, the work of the church can't be done without financial support. We need money to pay for the building, to keep the lights on. We need money to buy the communion cups that you'll be holding in your hands in a few minutes, and to buy Bibles and the paper to print the bulletins and all the various things that we have in the church. We also need money to pay the church staff. And yes, that includes your pastor's salary and benefits. Jesus understood those realities. Even in our most spiritual pursuits, even as we share the good news, as we give away the message of salvation free of charge, which of course we do, yet we live in a real world, and ministry takes place within a real world. And so ministry costs money. And that money comes not from the people who we offer good news to. Ministry comes from those who believe in the work of the church, who want to give to support and enable the gospel to go out into the world. And so, yes, money matters even in the kingdom of God. But this story of Jesus watching the people put their gifts into the temple treasury, it's really a story that's less about money and it's more about the hearts of the people who give. And so we also learn this lesson, that generous giving requires faith. And we know that's true. Although I wonder how often we think about our faith or we feel the faith in our hearts when we are writing our checks or giving or however you give to the church or support missionaries. I hope that there's something happening in your hearts as you give. This poor widow, Mark tells us, gave two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And that's kind of translated for us, right? Just a few pennies, a nickel or two that she drops into the treasury. What Jesus cared about as he watched that widow give her money was not the value of what she gave. Jesus didn't weigh her gift against the large contributions of the wealthy people who were also giving that day. What Jesus saw was this woman's heart and her faith. And so through Jesus' eyes, the value of the widow's gift was greater than the gifts of all the other people. Not that their gifts weren't meaningful or important to the ministry of the temple at that time. They were. But you see, this widow gave out of her poverty. She gave even though she couldn't afford to give. She gave despite her own need because she had a heart that loved God. She had faith that her money, no matter how little, that belonged to God already. And she understood that she could afford to give. She could afford to give because she knew that God provided for her. And she understood that God would enable her giving. Even though from an accounting perspective, and as someone who's careful with money, and I think most of us are, we would probably say, no, you don't need to give. It's, you know, you just need to take care of yourself. You can't really afford it. We might think that way, but she understood, no, God's going to enable me to be generous. God's going to continue to meet my needs as I continue to be faithful to meet the needs of God's kingdom. God enables us to be generous. You see, finances in God's kingdom operate differently than finances in the world around us. Remember when Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God's." He was telling us that God looks at money differently than we do. God understands economies and finances in very different ways than the world does. Jesus doesn't ignore the value of money. Ministry needs money to operate effectively. We need to understand that. Money is still money even in God's kingdom. The difference comes when God's power and God's provision gets factored into the equation. When God's power is counted, then the way we normally count money goes out the window. Two small copper coins given in faith can be worth more than large sums of gold and silver because God is able to multiply the resources that are given. God can make a little stretch farther than a lot. In fact, God does that often. It's the story in the Old Testament, in fact, multiple stories in the Old Testament, about God causing the oil in a widow's jar to continue to flow. She isn't going to run out because God is providing for her, and so day after day, she finds, oh, there's still a little bit more to get through the next day. God is able to keep old clothing from wearing out. God is able to keep an old car from breaking down. God can inspire a wealthy person to give in response to the generosity of a not so wealthy person. When we give in faith, God can do surprising and powerful things. And it begins with having a heart that says, I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to be generous no matter what the accountants might say. So here's the bottom line of the story, that Jesus cares more about your faith than about your bank account. He cares more about what's going on inside of your heart than what's happening in your portfolio. Now again, let's be clear, Jesus knows about both. Jesus knows what is happening in your heart when you give. He knows what motivates your giving. And Jesus knows the exact balance of your bank account. He knows how much you make, how much you spend, how much you save, how much you give, how much you waste on things that maybe you shouldn't be buying. None of that's hidden from God. And when Jesus watched the people there putting their gifts into the temple treasury, it wasn't like it was some invasion of privacy because he knew already. He knew what they were going to put in. And according to Jesus' accounting principles, the poor widow gave more because her heart was more fully devoted to God than the others who wanted to make a show of giving large sums of money. She gave out of love. She gave out of faith. She gave with gratitude in her hearts. We heard earlier in the service that God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Are you cheerful when you give? Do you give and feel good about it? Do you give knowing that what you are providing will enable God's kingdom to grow and that makes you feel good because it's important to you? Because the ministry of the church matters to you? Can you be cheerful when you give? I think that widow was happy to give. Now, no sermon on giving or stewardship would be complete without addressing tithing. And tithing is not mentioned in this story, but I think it's probably important to say this at least once a year or so in the church. And so we'll get into this for just a moment. The biblical concept of tithing is giving 10%, one-tenth. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, tithing is the assumed standard of giving for God's people. Right? To give a tenth of the harvest, or one-tenth of your income, or 10% of your wealth devoted to God's work. And I know sometimes people, we tend to complicate this maybe for our own benefit or just to kind of confuse the issue. And so people will ask, well, is that 10% before taxes or after taxes? Or is that 10% of earned income or 10% of investment income? Which reminds me of Jesus talking to the Pharisees, who were so legalistic that they would tithe on their herbs and spices. And Jesus said, oh, well, good for you, and yet you have neglected to do things like caring for the poor. You've neglected to give mercy to those in need. You've neglected to love God with your hearts. In other words, Jesus wants us to understand that the condition of our hearts and our faith matters far more than how we calculate our giving. Now, I imagine that some of you, I'm pretty confident that many of you, tithing's been a lifelong habit. I'm guessing there are people in this room who can say honestly that from your very first job, back when you were a teenager, you started tithing, and all through your life, all through your career, you've been faithful to give at that level, consistently, faithfully, and hopefully even cheerfully. And I can also say for those of you who can testify in that way in your life, that I would imagine you can look back and say you have no regrets. You've seen how your giving has impacted the church and enabled ministry, and you've also seen at the same time how God has met your needs. And so all these years of tithing, I would imagine many of us can say we have no regrets for what we've given to God's kingdom. Others here may still be struggling with how much should I give, or how can I ever reach that standard that may seem impossible. And I think tithing will be an impossible standard to you until you start giving out of a heart of faith, until you start trusting that God can enable you to be generous, that as you give, God will supply for your needs as well. And when we give cheerfully, when we give faithfully, no matter the amount compared to the person next to you, and God doesn't compare what you give to anyone else, God simply looks at your heart. But when we can give cheerfully, God will put your work, your gift to work in powerful ways, and the kingdom will grow, and the kingdom will continue to flourish, and God will continue to provide for your needs as well. He will enable you to give generously, and He will give you the joy of seeing lives changed through Jesus Christ and through the ministry of the church that you are able to support. So thank you for being generous. Thank you for giving faithfully. And let me encourage you to continue to trust in God, knowing that He is able to meet your needs. So let's bow our heads and ask God to help us in these issues. Lord, we do thank You for the ways You provide for each of our lives. And Lord, for the ways that You provide for Your church. Father, we thank You that You call us together, that no one person can do everything the church needs done. No one person can give everything the church needs. But together, You enable us to provide for the ministry of Your kingdom. And we know, Lord, that this is only one church among many, many churches all throughout this world. And so we pray that You would continue to supply the needs of Your people, and that You would inspire us and give us the courage and the faith we need to continue to supply the needs of Your kingdom. Lord, we thank You for the promise that You always meet our needs. And so we ask now that You would give us that trust that You will enable us to be generous. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your promises in our lives. So we pray these things in Jesus' name.